Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. You all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Leva, here. Joel.
Here.
Torres.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Coyle.
Here. First up, we have our correspondents.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on any of the correspondence?
I think we need to address the wood chips.
Absolutely.
And I had a question on the Derby insurance. Does that mean, what is it? The certificate of insurance, what we're listed on?
Sandy, could you answer that for us?
How does that work?
I think in all cases, I'm just trying to show all of you that I have the adequate provisions for public safety and liability and risk.
There's nothing we need to do.
No. Also, on our part, we just made you on the certificate of insurance. And I feel like that's just me to give it to your insurance provider. Actually, we need to the big
okay, so yeah, we don't have no motion. We don't have to do anything. All right, that's good.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Higgins, you wanted to speak on the wood chips.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Are they looking for a motion to approve that, or
kind of once and for all, so we don't have to revisit this every year?
Okay.
Okay, so we'll take care of that after we do the other correspondence. Any other questions on any of the correspondence? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I'd accept the motion for the wood chips.
I will make
I'll
that
second
motion.
That.
Motion. Thank you. With the caveat, if you want to store the spare chips down at the BPW garage.
Right.
I think there are some type of BPA regulations or DEP regulations. As long as they're in conformance, the storage is in conformance with them, no problem.
Okay. That's part of your motion, Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Okay. And you're okay with that, Mr. Jewell?
Yes, I am.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I'm going to vary a little bit from the agenda here, since Mr. Cioni has some limited time here, and let's go into new business with the rec bylaws.
Make a motion to approve the rec bylaws.
Second. Okay, any discussion on them?
I spoke with Victor today, and I made a couple of recommendations already, but just real briefly, just so you're all aware of what I mentioned to him. Wherever they say board, I say it should just be the entire commission, because the board, the way it's defined, is kind of just the chair and vice chair. And then also I recommended under the recreation director duties and responsibilities that it include the end of year, like financial reports, you know, the profits, the expenses, that sort of thing. And Victor knows exactly what I was talking about. And there's one other one I had. Wait a second. Do you remember what it was?
The exact wording, I think, was for...
Was there another one that I had?
There was three. The recreation director will be responsible, this is page five, for all duties and objectives defined by the board each year and present to mayor and council each year. So
that was the fifth.
It would be the same thing that we provided last year with the revenues, expenses, those types of items. And the other one was page six. There was a bullet point. Rec director will supply end of year report, expenses, revenue, balance of rec trust. So basically, duplication.
And then just a comment, I think, having the equipment maintenance policy, I think, is a great thing to have in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was, that was all I added to it.
Yeah, and Des has already set up a training session with DPW on how to operate the equipment properly, even though most of them know how to operate the equipment. It's the little things, you know, that we want to just make sure that we make them understand. And so far, it's been good. So the bylaws basically are being drafted to come in accordance with the resolution, the ordinance, because And one of the reasons we used board, because at the time when we started working on these, we didn't know if we were going to stay a committee or a commission, so.
Right. So what do we need to do now? Do we need to have these go back to rec for their approval of the changes that have been recommended, or?
Well, what we could do is council could approve the bylaws based on those recommended changes. I could take them back to the commission for the next meeting to review the changes and just basically accept the changes, you know, for whatever. And then if that's happening, then it'll be memorialized. We'll make the changes to the bylaws and we'll send Christine a copy.
Okay. You don't see any issues with that?
No.
Okay. Okay, who made the motion?
I did.
Leva and Councilman Joel seconded the motion.
Okay.
Very impressive, Victor.
Good job. You're willing to amend your motion to include the changes? And Justin, you're okay with?
Absolutely.
That second, okay.
Yep.
Any other discussion on the Recreation Commission bylaws?
I just wanted to say, you know, congratulate for doing such a fine job. These are excellent bylaws. I mean, and, you know, plus the fact that basically, you know, as a commission, they can do pretty much the bylaws as they wanted, and they came up with, you know, a dynamite looking, you know, document.
I didn't want anything to contradict with the ordinance. That's why. You made pretty certain that that wasn't the case. No ambiguity as much as possible. That's probably why there's more detail than needs to be, but sometimes it's better to have more than not enough.
Okay.
Thank you.
No other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Look at that. We got you out of here in 7 minutes. You can go home and take care of your kids now. Okay, at this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statement, and testimony from guests. Mr. Hopkins, if you'd be so kind, state your name and address for the record.
Kevin Hopkins, the owner of Gibson's Gym on East Washington Ave. Lucky for you guys, I'm losing my voice, so enough attorney phone calls today. Basically, I'm here tonight to give you a little bit of a heads up. Each of you is going to receive a packet from me regarding the release of the environmental bond on the parking lot. as what happens 9 times out of 10, I think, we have conflicting opinions on professionals. So Frank Brockerhoff, who was my environmental engineer, is not in agreement with Andrew, your engineer. This came to light today in an email. You should receive Andrew's report, I would imagine, within a few days. Subsequent to that, you'll get a packet from me. In that packet, there will be everything from my email correspondence to the bureau chief of the DEP, Kevin Schick, and you know, his correspondence to the contract that we did have, which at this point, my engineer, my attorney, myself, we all, you know, reading it in plain English, feel it's complete. Apparently, Andrew has some questions. He was forwarded quite a bit of documentation last week, well, about a week and a half ago, by me. I don't believe he read any of it, because most of the questions that were raised by him were answered in that information. So in fairness to him, when I forward the packet to you guys, I will also forward by certified letter, because apparently things have been lost, the packet to him as well. But basically, in a nutshell, it all boils down to when we formulated the contract and we talked about remediation of the site, it was agreed upon, you know, to put a cap, which worked for everyone. It was specified, as a matter of fact, in the contract. You know, it comes right out to...
You're talking about a cap on the dollar amount or a cap on the...
No, a cap. This is Article 12, environmental remediation. Buyer agrees to provide environmental remediation of the property. Remediation shall consist of engineering controls, specifically the placement of an impermeable cap.
Okay.
This obligation shall be secured by a performance bond in the amount of $500,000. You guys were not aware of this, but there was a behind-the-scenes fight going on about the bond amount. it was the opinion of the professionals at the time, none of which are around, that you didn't need to know about that. My attorney sent a letter. All this you guys will be able to read in length. On December 22nd, state, you know, and basically this, to highlight this, he reiterates that article and then states, "Mr. Hopkins requested a cost estimate from Tilcon, New York for the environmental remediation, which consists of the installation of an asphalt cap over an estimated 5,556 square yards. Based upon this figure, Tilcon anticipates the cost of the job to be $97,507, blah, blah, blah." So my attorney basically argued and said, you can add 20% to the cost of a job. That's a prevailing wage quote. Should be 120. Andrew didn't want to budge. I basically convinced the bank. I took out a $500,000 line of credit, leaned it on the building, just to, you know, prevent the back and forth. I was like, you know what, the hell with it. I'll get it done. We'll do it. I know we're going to get this done in a timely fashion, not an issue. So, you know, my attorney wasn't too happy. He wanted to fight the number down. Well, now, you know, Andrew's saying, well, we should have did this, we should have did that, we should have did this. I can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, and for you guys, I want all you guys to evaluate this packet when you get it. That's the only reason why I'm here, because I want you all to make an informed decision on some of the stuff that your professionals are doing, because I'll teach Justin when he comes in the gym. You know, I'll say to him, it's your fault, because guess what? If your attorney, your engineer, if they make some kind of unfounded decision on something, you rely on these guys for professional advice, and you rely that they're doing their due diligence. In this case, the only due diligence that was done is right here, that phase one that was done by me, by my environmental guy, over a year ago. That thing timed out in September. You know, that was mainly to, so, you know, I don't want to throw rocks. Everybody's busy. But at the end of the day, prior to the closing, I had an email conversation with Kevin Schick. He is the Bureau Chief, NJDEP, Site Remediation Program, blah, blah, blah. Told him everything. And my question is, you know, about open spill cases. You know, I was basically saying, listen, you know, I know from my environmental guy telling me, we cap it, there are no open spill cases. As long as there are no open spill cases, there's nothing to remediate. I didn't, you know, I didn't want to rest at that. I said, I want to make sure I have all my ducks in a row. And thank God I did, because here it is. You know, the email response to him, or from him, was, you know, in your case, if you already have a no further action letter from the department, which we do, by the way, for all the other issues that were back there, they'll be in your packet as well. You know, and the historic fill issue is only based on a preliminary assessment from a phase one real estate due diligence investigation. There's been no subsurface investigation or data collected from the fill showing contamination. Then your requirement to involve the NJDEP site remediation program is not clear to me. You know, and he goes on and on. Then he backs it up with another email on Valentine's Day. I've checked our NJEMS data management system and see that Washington Borough Allegher Street Garage listed with a PI number of, goes on. Yeah. There is a no further action letter indicated as issued by the Site Remediation Program, Bureau of Field Operations, blah, 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 2006. The NFA lists no restrictions remaining on the property. Also see that $232,000 was spent on the site cleanup. Now, in fairness to you guys, that was in the regime, the Fisher, Shioa. I'm not surprised that nobody knew that you guys spent $250,000 ripping tanks out of the ground and, you know, all kinds of investigation back there for contamination, and the DEP issued that NFA letter, unrestricted use. So I don't know what Andrew, you know, the historic fill seems to be the issue. And my guy has his opinion, Andrew has his opinion, the DEP has their opinion, you know. There is no open spill case.
So yeah. Just to clarify, the DEP wants either open up the
place. No, they don't.
Oh,
no,
they don't.
No, because
so
historic
how would
fill.
Do the historic fill.
There is no. It's not a reportable discharge any longer.
Okay.
So if you had to go back there, say like in an instance, if there was a spill and you had to go back there and do subsurface investigation, take samples.
Mm-hmm.
And they noted historic fill, you would have to clean it up. There's no there was no call for subsurface investigation, so as far as they're saying, you know, they do, you know, asphalt cap. Even if the program is initiated, they do an asphalt cap and a deed restriction.
There are wells on that property, though, tested wells, correct?
Right, exactly, yep.
Do you know how many off the top of your head?
Two, one that's, you know, no longer the other one. So those wells monitor chlorinated solvents that are coming out, you know, everybody knows it's part.
Yeah, from the superfunds.
I could go on and on for hours with you guys, I don't want to waste your time, because it is a waste of time. But what I'm going to do is when my environmental guy, he's going to do an investigation, you know, another investigation, he's going to do his inspection and give his opinion. Hopefully by that point, you know, when Andrew gets my packet of everything, he'll look at it and, you know, sometimes things have to be spoon-fed, because I know these guys are busy, and, you know, Kevin Hopkins paving the parking lot and knocking it is like a flea on the dog, you know. But to me, it's not, you know. Yeah. So I just want to give you guys a heads up, so when you see the packet, you're not like, ah, that nut, I thought he paved that parking lot and we're done. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to circumvent, I'm not trying to pull any punches. You know, we looked at impervious cover, what could, you know, at the end of the day, the grand scheme of it was, you know, it really turned out to be a, you know, demolition of two buildings and a repave job. I mean, that blacktop went all the way back to the creek bank. So,
will you give a copy to Christine so you can give it to our attorney?
Yep. Yeah, I think Mike Salvaggi's already going to, you know, because of the wording on the contract. And I guess that's what I'm more aggravated at, is that Andrew had to review the contract in order to set the bond amount. And at that time, prior to Scott and I signing that contract, if there was any issue, it should have been addressed then. You know what I mean? Like, it should have been, now, listen, you need to deed restrict it, or now we want to see subsurface invest, you know, not, yeah, cool, you're doing a cap, that's what we want, you know, I mean.
And then give you 10 more items of checklist items.
Exactly, I mean, and then that would have given me the opportunity to say, no, obviously this guy doesn't agree with my guy, because that's what, you guys know, you get two attorneys in here, everybody fights. So I just don't, you guys get papers all the time, I don't want to get lost in the shuffle. Please check it out. I'll tab everything so you can go through, and I got, it's an interesting read. I got emails back and forth and letters and hold, you know, I learned the hard way not to delete anything.
How many cups of coffee should I have before I read this?
Nah, it won't be that many, because I'm gonna make it easy for you.
Okay.
So, again, so nothing for you.
In a nutshell, he's not releasing
the... He's not going to release my bond. I was hoping tonight it would be a resolution. That was a pipe dream, because one of the engineers in their firm came out, or a woman came out last Monday and did pictures and, you know, did all the investigation. And she was like, oh, there's more issues. I said, what? What do you mean more issues? She said, well, I don't really know. They kind of threw this on my lap. And then I said, I'm like, well, why isn't Andrew here? Oh, he's busy. And I understand that. But
basically, the DEP and your attorney are basically saying that, you know, everything's, you've done is...
Exactly.
As far as the
exactly. My attorney and my environmental guy.
Right.
Now, Brockerhoff, at this point, you know, you guys got to remember, too, that a private entity, we don't abuse the professionals. And I don't mean... That's probably a bad way to state it, but if I have an environmental engineer that tells me this is what you got to do, you know, we don't, it's not required to do all this. I don't go on a fishing expedition, you know, without throwing rocks at anybody, because it was of nobody's doing here. What happened across the street from me was a fishing expedition. When you do, you know, if they require two sites to be excavated and you do 80 or, you know, in an attempt to find something. Listen, it's Jersey. We can find something dirty no matter where you are. And the levels change every other day. So when the DEP in 2006 says, you have an NFA letter, you know, here you go, I don't understand what your concern is, you know, that's it. I mean, that's really it, you know. I don't know. So just read it for me. And you know what? If you don't agree with me, that's cool, because I respect everybody's professional opinion, but you guys just need to be informed. I wanted this crap to go to you guys back in December. No, they don't need to be bothered with that.
Well, we
resolution.
Did get something, so that's going to be something that we're going to look into.
Yeah.
You know,
I questioned this before the sale. I did question this before the sale.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was told everything was okay.
Right. So not only is it a waste of time on our part, but your part too, so that's what I'm concerned of, you know, it's time and money for everybody.
We'll look into it when we get your packet.
You know what I mean? Like, why wasn't it in the contract? You know what I mean? Like...
When did they come up and say that there were additional things that had to be addressed?
Today, in an email.
So basically, they're saying you're in violation.
Yeah, he's saying I'm not gonna hold the bond until I get answers. And I got the answers for him.
That's your money you want back, right?
Well, that's it. Basically, in a nutshell, you know what I mean? I'm paying interest on $500,000 that... And if, you know, this is something Rich and I, Phelan, debated back and forth, and it ended up being a debate between he and the my environmental guy, and Brockerhoff. Now, not for nothing, I mean, if I have an environmental engineer telling me this, and I got no correspondence from your engineer, you know, what am I gonna do? You know what I mean? Who am I gonna believe?
My question is, if he's done everything that the contract said when we sold it to him, is it a legal issue, or is it an engineering issue?
I think that's what we'll find out when we get that packet.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you look at that, and I think Mike is actually gonna call Dick, or Judy, really. I should say Judy, because Judy's really the one dealing with more. You know, I think really what it boils down to is it's opinions. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff back there that was a gray area, and it was due diligence. And I did due diligence on my end. Now, it comes to question, did Andrew do his due diligence? If he did, why wasn't it presented to me, you, everybody else? You know, I mean, that's it.
So Kevin, did your attorney do like a demand letter to, you know...
Nah, we're not there. Nah, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be jerky. Hell, I was the guy that, I posted the escrow, like, the last thing I want to do is have the borough incur costs to fight with me, you know?
It's obviously a state that's gonna be holding you up here.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you guys have a meeting in 2 weeks. By the end of the week, everybody ought to have a real good, at least have all the information. And then by next Thursday, whenever the deadline is for the, you know, by next Thursday, Andrew ought to have a, you know, he ought to have a, an answer for everything, really, you know?
Agreed.
Alright.
Look forward to seeing the...
Just read it, alright.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, thank you.
How are we gonna direct the engineer to respond? Is he gonna respond through an email, or are we gonna bring him here face to face? I'd be more comfortable with the face to face. This electronic back and forth stuff just gets too cumbersome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep, I think we should make that decision once we see what...
Yeah, we'll see, yeah.
What happens.
And he may, you know, when he hits the spoon thing...
And it could be done by the time we have our next meeting.
Hopefully.
Mr. Salvaggi talking with Mr. Cushing and Ms. Copeland.
Hopefully, that's the deal, you know?
But I heard more so that the borough engineer kind of changed the structure of what was going forward.
Right, and if he did...
That's who I want to talk to.
Yeah, if he did, why wasn't it addressed, you know? I mean...
Yeah, that's the big issue.
You know, he stated...
Yeah, exactly.
He stated, well, I didn't have any idea what your plan for remediation was. I read that to you in that Tilcon letter.
Yeah, this turned out, this was a dollar deal when we first did this.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is embarrassing that we still continue to do things like this. And when I say we, I'm not talking about council.
I understand.
No.
But we let this happen. Now I'm talking about council. So let's not let this happen. The man, the professional needs to be here and talking to us about what took place between today and back then.
Is that how we want to spend his retainer?
I will make a motion.
See, now you're just nickel and diamond. This guy here's got $500,000 he's paying on.
It's a legitimate question.
So then my legitimate answer is yes.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to have the engineer...
I'll second that motion, so he comes in.
To discuss this matter unless it is resolved before the next meeting.
That'd be great. Because, I mean, I've reached out to him, and I don't know professionally, like, maybe, you know, I know what attorneys, your attorney isn't gonna speak to me directly, but the engineer, I mean, I emailed him last week, first off, thanking him for the contribution he gave to the bid, or, you know, the Suburban did, and saying, you know, hey, I'd like, you know, I knew he was away on a conference or whatever, you know, when you get done, if you come out and inspect it, remediation is done, cap is in, you know, if you come out, or give me a buzz, because I even have an email, which you guys will get a copy of, that I have some questions about some other amenities and other, you know, like we had to rebuild the drainage bins, the drainage basins and everything that were back there. We had to put new ones in, and like, I just had some dumb you know, I think they're dumb, but they would have been easy to him. Like, I didn't even get an email saying, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe I looked at too much.
Has Andrew been in touch with you as manager on the project?
No, this is the first I'm hearing of this.
Yeah, and she, I've had to ask her, I'm like, you know, could you, did you hear anything out of Andrew yet? Did you hear anything? And then, you know, he had sent one of the other engineers, I believe she was an engineer, to take pictures, you know? And that's when I was kind of alarmed to, she's walking around, she's like, there's a lot of other areas of concern around here. And I'm like, what areas of concern? Well, the salt. That was in your phase one. I'm like, phase one is for real estate. I said, your salt was on an 18-inch slab. Show me salt going through an 18-inch slab. Oh, okay. Well, the transformers, I'm like, they're JCP&Ls. Okay. And, well, I don't know anything about it. And she kind of backed down. She was like, the underground tanks. I said, there's an NFA letter for those. And then the historic fill. And I'm like, it's being capped. So, whatever. I mean,
Yeah, maybe it's a miscommunication between Andrew and his engineer, too.
Yeah, so that's what I'm hoping. Like, you guys, I just want to make you aware that way when you get my packet, you read it and you say...
As Mr. Hopkins said, many of the questions Mr. Hope asked were answered in something that he sent him previously.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't read it.
And you know, it's a contract. You know, my attorney's like, everything he's written and all the correspondence for remediation has revolved around this cap. And I heard from, you know, Rich, well, if we're going to do it, it costs us $400,000. So, you know, like back and forth, and I've even made statements like, well, actually, you can pave cheaper than me because you could have Morris County Municipal Co-op come in, throw down blacktop at $58 a ton installed. You could do the job cheaper than me. Actually, what really pisses me off is that I want to pave Allegher Street. I've had conversations with Christine about, all right, when we do Allegher, maybe I'll give you a donation and you guys can pay for it. That way the co-op can do it. You know, and then I get this stuff and
that's really cool.
Thank God, like, this isn't 10 years ago when I was a hothead and, you know, I've kind of chilled out with children. But, and I understand the process now and how things get lost in the shuffle, and that's why I'm not really worked up yet. But, you know, I just want you to read it because, you know, it's, hey, you know, this isn't the time to backpedal. I mean, we did that contract. That was just, that thing sat around. As a matter of fact, it sat around a month waiting to get the bond numbers. And when we finally were given the bond numbers, that's what we were waiting on. And then it took me another month to get the bond. And then we finally signed, I think, January and closed February 2nd. So we had plenty of time in there, you know, I mean, but whatever.
Okay.
This is what it is.
Thank you, Kevin.
Oh, you guys will have it by Friday at the absolute latest.
Kevin, do you think you can do it by Thursday afternoon?
Yep, I'll try.
Okay, and then can you touch base with me so I know where we're at tomorrow?
Yep.
If your attorney has called.
Yeah, I'll email. Yeah, because the only thing I got from my attorney was, you know, something sent. He was at his child's baseball game when he got it, and he said, this is the biggest boondoggle I have ever seen, and with exclamation point. Like, even he's shaking his head, you know, and this guy deals with Andrew a lot. So, I don't know, whatever. I mean, I guess it's a very quick turnaround. I should be happy that it has happened so fast, but I don't know.
Thank Works
you.
Great.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Sir, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, anyone else from the audience?
Good evening, Mayor McDonald and Council. My name is Stan Prater. I'm the area manager for Jersey Central Power and Light, and I am your municipal representative. Just wanted to come up and put a name with a face and let you know I'm here to support you in any things or anything, any problems or any issues or concerns that you have with the company.
Okay.
I did bring some business cards and a brochure with me. It talks about our company,
sure.
Our affiliations with Ohio, Pennsylvania. We have 10 sister companies. We just merged with Allegheny about 6 months ago, so we have two more affiliates. And just to see if you guys had any questions for me, I know that's I'm opening up possibly a can of worms, but I'm here to support you and to answer any questions that you have.
Yeah, I got a few
sure.
questions. I noticed your competitor, PSE&G, they've recently, in some towns, I don't know where I work in Raritan and Bridgewater, they installed energy-efficient filament bulbs for
thank
streetlights.
You,
is there any
yes.
plans in the future for that? And I also see the addition of solar panels on each pole that has those lights. Any plans in the future for something like that in this area?
Thank you.
There are no plans for solar or that type of lighting. What we have is, we have three types of lights, standard lights at Jersey Central for Saturday. And one is the traditional incandescent bulbs, those are the bulbs that's been out there for years. Mercury vapor bulbs, and they've been out there for quite a while. And we have something called a high-pressure sodium light. It's an energy-efficient bulb. And we are replacing our incandescent lights and mercury vapor bulbs with the energy-efficient high-pressure sodium. We are doing a pilot with Lakewood with LED. Mm-hmm. We don't have a tariff for LED lighting, but we made a special agreement because they got a grant for lighting. And it took about 2 years to come up with this special contract, this special rate. So we are working a pilot with them, but we don't have anything like PS in terms of solar or their lighting program that you just mentioned.
Any chance for a pilot in this area, this county, or this
for that
LED,
type of
LED. The LEDs you spoke about?
Yeah, there is, because we like I said, we entered an agreement with Lakewood.
Okay.
And so there is a possibility that we could do a pilot. If you guys came up with a grant and you had money where you wanted to invest in LED, we would certainly look at the contract that we just negotiated with Lakewood and use that as a pilot to do something if you were interested.
Okay.
Certainly.
Yeah, I'm interested, so we can... You can send a paper.
And there's a, well, I would just say I would meet with you probably in a closed-door session just to talk about some of the things that they went through, because there was a lot of due diligence and investigation on LED. There's pros and cons. So, you know, we would need to talk about all of that.
Absolutely.
Residents may not like the lighting. It's a different type of light. So there's a lot of different things. You know, you just don't want to put up something that people don't like.
Right.
So,
yes. Yeah. That's right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was wondering, does JCP&L do anything with the communities, like New Jersey American Water gives donations to the community, whether it's monetary, you know, or water to the pool, or to town festivals, or volunteers from them come out to help if we have something going on. I was wondering if JCP&L does anything like that to the communities they serve.
Yeah, we do. If you have something in mind specifically,
okay.
A specific program or something you're looking to do, sponsor, fund, contact me.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that we're just giving out money and we're going to do it, but you know.
You already heard that. You're giving money
out.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have another question, if I might.
Sure.
You guys took a beating from the governor in November and December for the storm in October.
Yeah. Well, I would say that the governor was pretty fair with us. We had conference calls with the governor every day. And, you know, the governor, from a public perspective, you know, it looked like we took a beating. But he understood with the amount of damage that we had with the two storms. We had Irene in August, and then almost 2 months to the day, we had the October snowstorm with the wet snow, leaves on the trees, and it just would wreak havoc. So I think the governor was pretty fair with us. From a public perception, it may not seem that way. But
there were some residents in the borough that were without power for more than 10 days.
Is that right?
Yes. And do you guys have a contingency plan now in the event of future storms other than... Let's call Ohio.
Ohio is us. Ohio is us.
I know.
Yeah, so they are part of our affiliates. One of the good things about us is that we have the ability to call Ohio and Pennsylvania because they're part of the First Energy program and bring those sister regions down to support us. If we were a different electric company, we didn't have those regions, you have to call something called mutual assistance. Now, if you have a storm in a region like we had, what happened is you have all the local utilities calling for mutual assistance, first come, first serve.
Right.
So everybody gets dibs on those. So if you're the last person that's calling out to, let's say, we had people as far as California come in around the fifth or sixth day. But we had our sister companies come in first, and we staged them up in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. We brought the tree crews in. We brought 150 tree crews in first because it was a tree event. Got to clear the trees before you can put the lines up. So we brought those folks in, and then each day we brought in crews from Jersey Central Power and Light, First Energy, and then from other affiliates. By the end of the day, we had 3,400 line crews.
Wow.
more than any storm ever. But to answer your question, yes, we have made some contingencies, and the contingencies are, one, better communication, because people need to know if they're going to be out, you know, one day or 10 days, so that they can make provisions.
That, if I might interrupt,
yeah.
That was one of my questions. If there was something that you could forward, or they could forward, we have emails.
Mm-hmm.
Email blast that go out to, you know, the citizens that sign up for it?
Yes.
Something, well, without power, we won't have either, will we?
No. What we're going to do is smartphones, mm-hmm. There's going to be an application on smartphones. We're going to be using that. We're going to be using our website. So let's say you don't have power, but you have a smartphone with a browser, you'll be able to go to our website, and one of the enhancements will be Washington Borough will be back up in power in the next 48 hours. At least that gives you some idea of what you need to do from a homeowner's perspective to make provisions. So those are the kind of things we learned from the last storm. If I can tell you approximately when you're coming back on, you could make provisions for you and your family. And that's what we heard from a lot of the municipalities and also the board. So that the new website should be out and about. I saw a draft of it today. It's going to give you an outage map where you can go and click on your area and see how many customers are out, give you approximate time in your town to be back in. I should say that should be up in about 30 days or so for the public.
Good.
So when that happens, also.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, but I mean, if you're without power, first of all, how are you going to get to the website to find out when you go back?
Well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of these smartphones and these devices have browsers on them now. So
that's also assuming a lot of people have smartphones.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So
now
what is the other option?
The other options are radio, AM radio.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be teaming up with some of the local radio stations in the area. The OEM. Frank Wheatley's group down here off of Route 31, we're going to be doing communications through them, and if people can't get out of their homes, we'll put some boots on the ground and go out to the neighborhoods and go out and make some, formalize some type of communication that way. But television, radio, smartphones, websites, and then warming stations. If you do have power in some of these buildings, what some of the municipalities did is had warming stations where people could come in, charge their batteries to their cell phones for a few hours, bring their computers in, charge them, or either if they had internet access, they could get on that way. So that was another way that we learned that folks get information.
I had a question about the communications that took place in the last two storms.
Mm-hmm.
And was there direct communication between JCP&L and the borough here?
There was, and there wasn't. There was, when I say that, I think Rich Phelan was the business administrator at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who the mayor was. We had a 4 o'clock call every day for mayors, and we gave out information every day to the mayors on the 4 o'clock call. Now, it was basically going one way, because what we found out was if you give the mayors opportunity to ask questions, it just kind of tied the line up.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave you at least one question, but we were pushing out information, and then at the end of the call, if you had still had questions, you were told to contact your area manager. That was me.
Okay.
Now, the problem with that is I'm responsible for 50 municipalities. So you can imagine I'm overwhelmed. What we did was just bring other people in from Ohio, like myself,
mm-hmm.
to man the phones to answer the questions. And what people wanted to know was, first of all, you know, when is my power come back on, obviously. And it's very difficult with all the amount of damage that we had. Then if you had, like, say, Route 31 or Belvedere Road was closed with tree damage, those are your major thoroughfares. If you said, well, we need to get those open, we would open those up for you, at least try to get those open so you can get your first responders around town to assist your residents that were sick or in need or were stuck in their homes. So. Yeah, it was, but it wasn't constant. It was limited because of so much damage and the amount of people that we had on the phones. It was a little bit of a backlog.
So, are you guys in contact with the county or with FEMA or with the state? I mean,
county OEM. The way the communication is going to funnel in is that the Warren County OEM will be your point of communication for the municipalities.
And they would probably then talk to our OEM.
Yes. Yes, it would go from them mm-hmm. to the local, and then from me to the mayor.
And the manager.
And the mayor, and the business administrator would have, also have communication.
And actually, to add to that too, when you talk about the maps showing the outages,
yes,
that actually is up and running, because I know the Warren County Communications website, which is Frank Wheatley,
mm-hmm,
they did have that for the last storm. There's actually a tri-state map or a state map, and it will show in different colors and aspects of how many outages are in an area, that particular location, and it goes down a list of towns, and it tells you how many hundreds or thousands of people are out. So that is actually up and running. It may not be as in detail as you said it was.
It's been enhanced.
Right, it's been enhanced.
Yes.
So that was up and running prior to what you said, so
yeah,
that was a good thing if you had access to a laptop or a smartphone.
Yeah.
That's a good tool as well.
And what we were doing, because it is an ETR, it's estimated time of restoration,
right,
is an estimate.
Right.
And when you have all that damage, so if we tell you you're going to be back on in 5 days and you're not on, people were taking
right
that as gospel, and unfortunately, you know, we just couldn't. It's a very hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on that. We're working on that.
Now you're going to be prepared for the next, if there is, God forbid, another emergency.
God willing, I'll be retired by
You'll
then.
Be retired.
I have
so.
I have
very
two
good
more things.
Sure.
On the back of your folder you just gave out here,
mm-hmm,
the enhancing service investing in the future. The bottom one is that completing three new substations. Just, I don't expect you to have this off the top of your head. You might, I don't know. But what about the substations in Warren County? Has anybody looked into them?
Yeah, these are just, these were critical facilities that we needed to update based on loading and reliability. We're doing work, like this town is served by Washington Sub, Glenn Gardner, Furnace Brook, and Broadway Sub. We have capital work in mostly all of those substations that we're going to
be
doing.
What do you mean by capital work?
Work where we're going in and changing out pieces of equipment.
Okay.
When you change, capital is when you go and actually take a piece of equipment and put a new piece in its
mm-hmm
place. So we do have projects in Furnace Brook. I know we're going to be doing work there that's going to impact this town. But these were what we call soft spots or critical areas that we needed to have work on right away.
All right, thank you. The other thing is on the programs and assistance. How do you find out, like, what programs your residents are eligible for? Who do you contact?
Okay, if you go to our website, if you look down here, it says how to reach Jersey Central on the web, or you can call customer service, but if you can go to the web, www.firstenergy.com,
yeah,
firstenergycorp.com on the last page, last paragraph.
Oh,
second, third from the bottom.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
If you go to the website or call a customer service number and you tell the rep or put in the information about a specific customer
mm-hmm
and the specifics, they will tell you what they've been into in terms of getting assistance.
And you can also find out about the other programs that are listed here on that site also.
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't even know some of these existed. Thank you for...
Yeah, no, they're...
This is very important.
Yeah, universal service funds. And see, when you pay your bill, you're paying into these funds.
Right, yeah.
So this is public, this is shareholder, stakeholder money that's going into funds for residents who have some difficulties.
So does that mean you're overcharging us?
No.
It's approved.
We don't see any of that money. It's approved by the Board of Public Utility.
You probably...
We're just a pass-through.
When you say you pay your bill and that goes into that fund...
Part of it does. Part of
the bill to pay for my service.
Societal benefits is a little... You know, the bill has all kinds of breakdowns.
And so
societal benefits. That's what that means.
Is that like redistribution?
Sure, let's just go for the month.
I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
I heard that the Glen Gardner generation station is going to be taken offline sometime next year. Is that true?
If it is taken offline, there will be some type of provision. We don't take substations offline unless we can reroute the power. So
that won't have an effect. I had read somewhere in an article they're planning on taking that offline in a couple of years, I guess. For something else in place or whatever.
No, you know what? I can check that out for you, but I had
yeah
not heard that.
Okay.
I have not heard that.
Thank you.
There's a lot of work going on down there.
Yeah. From some new wire up and everything I've seen
yeah
every day.
But if that were the case, I mean, there's thousands of customers attached to that substation.
Right, that's what I mean.
So,
that's all I was concerned about.
I mean, we would switch those over to
right
another sub. And if we were doing repairs, sometime we'd do that, but not...
But they also generate there, too, correct? Isn't there generation?
We don't generate. We're a distribution company.
Okay.
And all we do is distribute electricity.
Okay.
That would still be public service, right?
Public Service generates, they're part of a generation company. What you might be getting now is a lot of telephone calls about switching from Public Service to General, or PSC&G. And what the supply part of your bill, the generating part of electricity, has been deregulated. So that's opened up to any mom and pop A, B, and C store can sell you generation. And they can sell it to you typically cheaper than we can, Jersey Central, for now. But it's just like the stock market, it goes up and down. You may sign a contract for this rate, Jersey Central's rate may go below that. So, and then you gotta read the small print. But you should, you all probably have been getting calls or mailers from companies trying to get you to switch.
Yep.
And that's what that means, that's the generation
right.
part. And we're not affected by that.
Mrs. Levy, you have something else you wanted to ask?
No.
Okay, we're good. All right, anything else for Mr. Prater? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, thanks for having
thank
me.
You.
Have a good night.
You're chomping at the bit, sir.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Franks. I live at 43 Nunn Avenue here in Washington. I guess you're all in receipt of a letter that I provided, and I thank you. I think I even saw in the dark corridor that I had a line on the agenda there, so you were expecting me or somebody was. I don't know if you've had, I thank you twice, if you had a chance to read that long letter.
I have.
Okay.
Are you aware of the efforts by, is it Mr. DeSantis, his name?
Very much, yeah.
To go through Phillipsburg Riverview Organization for a grant to acquire that property?
I realize that they are making efforts to acquire the property.
Okay.
And I am fully supportive of anything that they can do in the direction that they're going.
Okay.
I'm here more for myself and for more of this localized community that's affected by these proposals that have been set forth in the past. Even like tonight, if I may, I'm kind of working out of town, so being vigilant about these kinds of proposals as a resident I thank you all for being here because I know you give up your time at night too. But for instance, I'm working down in Kennett Square and had to drive here in order to do this, and I don't have any regrets. That's part of the frustration part and the imposition part of these what I call reckless proposals. If you've read all that, I'm not going to go into all the details. If you read my long letter, what I have it boils down to a couple questions. But more to your question, I do support what they're doing and all of that, but I'm really looking at this differently, and I hope you can too, and think about us as a community, strictly in the borough, long time, of that nature and character that I described in my letter. So that's really my concern and focus. So what I'd like to know is, given the current zoning, and I understand the current zoning to be limited to 40 residential dwellings in a cluster development at the Mill Pond Road access, which is at the far end.
That sounds right. It's the Mountain District that, as we did it, and I believe it's 3-acre zoning, but clustering is allowed by the state of New Jersey,
okay.
Which would give them the 40 units, I believe it is, in that one centralized area, because 40 units is how many, with 3-acre zoning, you could fit on there.
Okay, so that would then imply that it could take up the whole of the developable acreage.
It is, in theory,
because
in
40
theory,
times
yes.
3 is 120. I
yeah.
see, right, and much of it, all the details,
right.
is wetland. So yeah, what that property supports is really only a cluster development, given the environmental conditions
yes.
and so on.
In
and
reality,
so
yes.
And given the environmental conditions at the end of Nunn Avenue, it doesn't support roadway. You walk off the asphalt and you are in wetlands. So those things aside, what I'm looking for is, you know, given the current zoning, is the borough obligated to provide access to the tract via Nunn Avenue? Are we really obliged to do so with that current zoning arrangement? I'm not asking for an off-the-cuff answer, but that's...
Yeah. I don't think we have to provide it right there. It could be provided in other spots. You know, that could always be proposed. But I think, if I remember the property correctly, Nunn Avenue was just sort of a logical way in because it was an existing road.
Well, there is no logical way in.
Well...
But it was the only, way in, I agree. There really is, given, again, current state of development, railroad, you know, the filling of the development in the periphery all around the parcel.
Right.
Has landlocked it.
Before, too, was the railroad was not going to allow a grade crossing across their tracks in order to access it.
Right, right.
Unless another crossing was taken out of place somewhere else.
Yes, you're correct.
So, all of these things kind of preclude, and, well, again, the property is what it is, okay? What I'm concerned, and I weigh more heavily, is the potential impact on our local community by opening up, or even suggesting it, is a real hassle. You know, because we go through this time and again. We all went through this with the Baker residential thing to the nth degree for 18 to 20 months. And then again, even though it was just a reckless proposal, the Washington Cemetery expansion proposal, it had to get a lot of attention, and it did. And it didn't get far, because it was reckless, but it got a lot of people up in arms, and I don't see the need for that. I mean, if you really look at that, our Nunn Avenue, it just doesn't support a roadway and through traffic. So that's my first question is, do we really, are we obliged to provide access to the property owner? And secondly, what mechanisms are available that can eliminate the possibility of ever opening Nunn Avenue to through traffic?
I have an idea. Get one of them endangered species and let it live there.
Yeah, I know. There's box turtles and all things like that. And, you know, that may very well be an existing situation. I don't know.
Right.
But safety of our community is an existing situation.
I've spoke with Mr. DeSantis, and I've told him that, you know, I've heard reports of there being endangered species up there, and I informed him how to go about getting a survey done to find them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he has followed up on that, I can't say. I didn't follow up with him after that.
I understood he's had somebody there from one of the environmental agencies, if it was local or otherwise.
It could be. And, you know, if Phillipsburg Riverview Organization, if their funding comes through and this area is purchased, you know, that could make everything a moot point, because then it would just be, it would be preserved property and you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Agreed,
access.
Yes.
But we don't know for sure if that's going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I think that's what you're coming from. What happens if that doesn't happen? Right.
Do we just wait till the next, you know, and part of my problem was, you know, what even possessed them to put a proposal like that in there? I mean, if you had the time to look at it, it had roadway circling the entire thing, and it was just contradictory to all of the evidence and conclusions that we came to, or you all came to, the various boards and such came to, when they looked at, you know, did all the digging with the Baker residential thing. So I guess, and specifically, if I can just, maybe you can knock this down or not, I don't know. But with the township, I understood they did at Ridge Road, and as I mentioned in my letter,
right.
That wasn't proposed as an access because, as I understand it, they vacated a small parcel of the end of the road to the local residents, and that was deeded to that person, and now they simply can't. It's impassable.
Right.
So that, I'm curious if that's a viable option, what other options you might have at your disposal, and what I can do, if you need signatures, if you need people, if you need us to make a lot of noise, I don't want to do that. I prefer to write a letter or two at my house and make it simple. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, I can tell you in depth about the nature of the property and the people that live there, and who potentially could be affected if any such decision were ever made. I mean, all right, that's where I'll end it, because I do get pretty impassioned about it.
Right. When we created the Mountain District, a lot of that was to limit the potential of any development in there whatsoever. Now, we couldn't just, I'm going just from memory here from a number of years ago. We couldn't just say, no, you can't put anything in there. New Jersey state laws, at least at that time, would not allow us to do so. We had to have some kind of a zoning, and that's hence the creation of the Mountain District with 3-acre zoning. As to whether laws have changed that would allow us to change that zoning again or give us some other mechanism to make the property less desirable to build upon, I'm not sure of. And as far as the cemetery goes, when we did the Mountain District zoning, nobody ever considered that a cemetery might go in there. That was one of the farthest things from our mind. So I guess we have to think a lot more detailed as to what could go in there other than a development, now that we've seen that there's something other than that that could have gone in there.
Now, Mr. Franks, you know, the planning board is where you might want to go as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was on the planning board during that Baker residential involved with the zoning, like the mayor was saying, the clustering and all that. That's where it starts.
I understand, yes. And in fact, I've been in touch with the planning board. Actually, Andrew Turner called me yesterday, and I thought it was going to shoot me down outright, and didn't have a discouraging word hardly for me, and made me feel pretty comfortable about this notion. And I know that he's quite, at least, well advised, because he sat on the planning board at the same time, so he understands, I think, that issue anyway. And yes, I understand the sequence of hitting these, you know, knocking down the pins or whatever it is you have to do to be effective. I don't understand all of your protocol. I'm willing to pursue that. But I also think the Mountain District, you know, rezoning was a good idea. But just one more time, I'll try to make it clear. With that rezoning, it almost, you know, eliminates the feasibility or use of Nunn Avenue as an access. You see, they'd have to drive all the way, you know, the reasonable or logical access is all the way out there by Mill Pond. So I just don't see...
That's only if... Well, I was thinking that it's quite possible that we could contact the rail company again and try to renegotiate that situation with a other alternate access to, you know, continuation of Prospect.
Contacting the railroad company is a
in that one case, the railroad company was very beneficial to us by not granting that access, that at-grade crossing, without abandoning another one. So that actually, that was a big hurdle that the developer had.
That was years ago, so maybe now there's a different situation.
Is there any...
It's worth exploring.
I don't think so. I think the railroad would still say, no, you can't come across our tracks.
Is there any known reason to us now why vacating a piece of that land, as was done in, as I understand was done in the township, is that's not feasible? Is there something you know that would preclude that?
I would just push that up to the planning board attorney.
Okay.
So land use laws. I mean, that's not our guess.
Is that the question to ask them?
I believe so.
Yes, sir.
Well, okay. I think our attorney.
I mean, if we're going to vacate, we do the vacating, but just let me
I just want you to realize, if you vacate a portion of the property,
the borough has no responsibility to maintain that particular end of the street or whatever anymore for snow removal.
Okay. Yeah, well, what it does, it ends blindly now. Yeah, it's a piece of sunken asphalt that proceeds to wetlands.
People still go there to turn around or no?
Occasionally, and occasionally, you know, getting sinking in there as they move off the asphalt. Yes. But that may be the only thing. It's not really even a finished turnaround. You know, it's not maintained that much. There's no curbing. There's no sidewalks. You know, the place it simply doesn't support, or even renovating or retrofitting it such that it could be safe for residents if you were to use it for a through road. So. Anyway, that's what I have, and I appreciate your time, and I'll keep trying to, you know, put a bug in ears around here, starting with the planning board then.
I think what we need to do is find out where the road ends past the property lines, where Nunn Avenue ends, and our attorney would have to give us direction as to what to do. We are the ones that would vote to vacate it, to give it to him. So I don't know what the next step would be to have the engineer, or does it show on tax maps where to end?
In speaking with Christine here, you know, I'm thinking that maybe the first step would be to go to our attorney and ask his opinion on it, and if he punts to land use, you know, fine, then we'll go there.
Because I remember when the township did that, it was right around the Bank of Time,
right,
and they were going to get sued for doing that.
Yeah. Yes, they were.
So if it's a preemptive thing on the borough's part.
Right, then we don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
Now would be the time to do it. That is my thought, too.
Do the hydrants come in at all?
Come in at all, no.
I don't think they would.
Okay. I mean, I thought that was preservation.
No, everything in the borough is actually, it's not preservation, it's the other planning.
I can tell you, though, that is some of the most beautiful area, and if you took a walk out there, now you'd see an incredible transformation from all of the trees that were felled and everything from the October storm, that the whole place is like being reborn. Trails are gone and everything is starting over. It's an incredible piece of property as it is. Hate to see it destroyed. All right, thank you then. And I'd love to see if you could do anything in that direction, find out anything. I'll be watching for your minutes and such. I'm happy that they're so available online, I found them.
Okay.
Thank you again.
Well, the attorney will be at the next meeting. Can we put this on the agenda for discussion?
I was going to suggest that we just have somebody make a motion to have the attorney look at it and have the answer for us for our next meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Well, is there going to be discussion?
Sure.
Okay, well, he gets paid to be here at the next meeting.
Yeah. Right.
If we send him something before the next meeting, we're going to pay for that and the next meeting.
No, I think it's a question that would just be part of our retainer.
That, and there's information that he may have to research.
Yeah, he's got to research. That's going to cost money. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, if he doesn't have the information, he can't answer it at the public meeting.
Exactly.
Well, he would be able to answer whether or not we have the right to vacate.
We have the right to vacate. The question is, do we have the property to vacate?
Well, I don't know if he has anything to do with the property.
I think either Judy or Dick can look into it and at least give us an idea as to what the process is, what our options are at the next meeting.
Would the tax assessor have that information or the property line then?
I'm sure.
In relationship to the road?
He would, and we could take a look at the tax map.
If we could do that also? Please.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Let's go look at the tax map. You?
I will. I'm along with Ryan, the assessor.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Anyone else from the audience?
Hello, my name is Ken Royer. I live at 108 Yeomans Avenue. And I've been talking to the zoning officer and a few other people. The property was originally my grandmother's, so, and I bought the property and I added some house part of the addition. But over the years, water has just poured off of Park Avenue. Park Avenue, if you know the layout, Park Avenue is much higher than Yeomans, so all those properties drain into Yeomans Avenue property. So at this point, I have about 4 inches of standing water in my backyard every time it rains, which then seeps into my basement. And then I pump it out to the street through the 70-year-old sump pump system that was designed with the house. Same thing with my neighbor on either side. So there is a storm drain on the corner of my property, and I'd like to possibly dig a trench, allow my neighbors as well to punch into that, and then take our gutters and some of the rainwater out of the property and put it right into the storm drain. We're not talking about draining anything from the houses, just rainwater.
You're just going to have a French drain kind of thing.
Basically, you know, 5 foot deep, put in some stone, put in some pipe with some filter fabric so keeps the mud out. But I'd have to dig down 4 feet, go below frost line, punch into that storm drain, which is actually damaged, and I pointed that out, but it's going to have to get repaired because if you look in, some of the block that it was built with has caved in. I don't know whether or not I have to get this approved by the engineer or who gives me approval to dig out and connect into that storm drain. I seem to be getting different directions as I talk to different people.
He would obtain a street opening permit through my office, and I would work with Andrew, our engineer, on giving you the information you need to do that tie into the storm drain.
No zoning approval, or?
No, not to tie into the storm drain.
Okay.
No.
Just a little. That wouldn't come out, it would have to go out here with the planning board?
No.
No?
No. Open. You would have to post the bond. We would hold that for a year.
Okay.
So that the work, we can make sure the work is done correctly. And then there is inspection fees and an application fee. The total cost is about $1,500 to the borough. $1,000, as long as the work is correct, we return to you after 1 year.
Okay. Is there a limit to how I guess that's really a question for the engineer. I'm fairly handy with our architectural drawings, so, and I plan on doing the elevation and the drop and everything for that. I'm sure I can find a company that's worked with putting in the storm drains that can know how to, you know, cut a 4-inch hole, and that's not that big deal.
Okay.
So
you can contact the mayor.
Okay.
I'll give you my office number. Or you can stop there during the day.
Okay. Going on vacation in a week, so. See if I can get there.
Are both neighbors on both sides going to do stuff?
Yeah.
I'm
sure I can get, Tom Crying is on, he's 110. He's got a nice little leak starting to build up. It just seems that each storm it's worse and worse. And he thinks there's a spring under his property now, and I don't think it's that.
No.
I think it's just years and years of Park Avenue being higher than us.
We do have a lot of springs in the borough too.
So.
That just.
But I think
some they come up and then 2 years later they'll disappear.
Yeah.
So.
The reason
it
I asked is because the cost that Christine quoted, would that cover all three houses or would that just do?
Yeah,
it's the one-time fee of going to the. It's only going to be one hole into the storm drain.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And everything else would just be their cost because it's their property.
Digging,
correct.
Right. So, which is, I mean, just to not have 4 inches of water in my basement.
Okay.
All right, that was it. I just need to know who to talk. I talked to the building inspectors and things like that, and nobody really knew who to start with.
Okay.
That's why I came here.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else?
Street.
Last meeting, I asked about and challenged you on a citizen being on the search committee for the manager. You and the representative for the borough attorney told me it was illegal. Can't do it. Correct?
Yes.
Yet, in December 16th, 2008, resolution reads, the borough manager search committee began phone interviews, and so far four candidates will move forward to interview with the entire council. The ed went live in the ICMA on December 15, 2008. Councilman Turner requested permission to remain a member of the search committee until a manager is found. A motion to permit Councilman Turner to continue to participate on the committee was made by Higgins and seconded by Wolkowski. A's were 6, nays were 0. Motion carried. So we had a citizen on the search committee previously. Correct?
It appears so.
It appears so. It is or it's not. It is. You had a private citizen. Was it legal then, but not legal now?
Can't answer that.
Why not? Because the search for a new manager is very near and dear to a number of its residents, considering the last three we've had. Okay? And if a private citizen resident was on it, I think we'd feel a lot better. And history proves that you had one in the past. Because
did Mr. Turner serve on that committee after?
I remember him, like, in the phone calls. He wasn't in council chambers during interviews, right?
He participated up until the end of his term.
End of his term.
Now, whether or not he came in,
I don't remember him in here.
I can't remember.
But, I mean, Rudy brings up a good argument. I think the only person that can really answer that would be the attorney next week.
I can't turn it off.
That's fine.
No, it's not. I wish I could. I've been trying to turn it over.
But I remember Andy being on it with Victor and maybe Terry.
David.
But I remember that request coming forward. But I know Andrew wasn't inside the council chambers when we did the face-to-face interviews.
Right.
I know he did, like, phone call.
Dave,
interviews.
Do you remember how long he was on?
I know it was after his term had expired. That's why the motion was made. I don't know if he was in the interview process. I know that he we just ask questions on the code.
Yeah.
After the end of his term.
After the end of his term, he was indoor in that process.
I don't think so.
Did we do any?
I think we wrapped up our telephone interviews in December.
Well, see, you have to find out.
Yeah, I mean, I would just have to go back to him.
Again, he stated, Councilman Turner requested permission to remain a member of the search committee until a manager was found. The manager was not appointed until March.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah, but the person that really needs to answer that would be Dick. And if, you know, if it's a contradiction, well, we'll get that corrected.
Dick?
Cushing?
Well,
or Judy, or whoever's here?
Well, Steve was here.
And I think the important thing is that us as a council going forward do the right thing and follow the law. It might have been a mistake in the past, but we're not going to repeat it.
Rudy, who's Steve?
I'm not saying it was a mistake,
but... Steve Farsu from Cushing's office was here representing Cushing, as Judy Kuppen was last meeting.
Mr. Farsu was there for that resolution you had.
Yes, he was present at the council meeting. So you had legal representation.
Yeah.
And if there was a problem, he should have been well aware of it and brought it to your attention. But apparently it wasn't a problem.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Excellent homework, Scott.
I got an idea, Scott. Maybe it's a good idea to skip the agenda and move to the manager search committee report right now. Being it's on topic now.
Should we table this discussion for next meeting when the attorney is present?
Ask for an attorney opinion on what occurred at that and do a little research as to when Mr. Turner finished his assignment in that regard.
Mr. Turner became a resident, private citizen, January 1st, 2009.
Correct, but do we know if he sat in on any of the interviews at that point? And that seems to be the debate. Mr. Higgins seems to think he did. Ms. Blanchard seems to think he did not.
No, Mr. Higgins seems to think he don't remember.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I don't think he...
I have no recollection. No, I didn't read it yet.
Well, that's not the end of the world.
No, it's not.
No.
That was the question that was posed.
As I stated last meeting, we'd be willing, any representative appointed to be on the search committee, okay, would be willing to sign any confidential agreement not to disclose specific facts.
I don't know if the difference was that he was already part of the process and it continued on. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I can't answer that question. See, now I can't remember if he was... I really can't. Is there anything further in the minutes?
No.
Was there anything...
I haven't looked past
that meeting?
I haven't looked beyond this meeting yet.
That would be my suggestion.
Okay.
Rather than beat a dead horse, I guess, just have
the attorney... The meetings may not contain, would just be a snapshot of the information. Presented at the time.
When we did... I know that the interview process, when we went to dinner... He was not part of that process.
No.
We had the face-to-face.
Right.
Any interview he did would have been done in executive anyway.
Right.
Well, except for when we went out to dinner. We took the three candidates out to dinner.
Right, he was not there.
He was not there. Correct.
And I don't remember him sitting in on any of the ones we did in this room.
I don't either.
Executive.
Pardon me?
I say I don't remember him sitting in this room when we did the first initial face-to-face with the candidates.
Well, I don't know that either because... We weren't part of any executive committee at that time, okay? And we didn't know what was going on until the announcement was made about failing, okay? But we do know that it's questionable of why we can't have a resident, you know, on this search committee. We're not asking for a lot.
So duly noted.
What are we going to do? Wait until the next meeting?
Yeah, I mean, I can't answer that for the lawyer.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think, Christine, if you could go back...
I will.
And find out if he was...
Like looking at, what, David, like January, February, March?
Yeah.
But you could say who was there, right? I mean, that would be part of the minutes.
Sure.
Anytime to help you. We're just trying to keep things open and informative for all.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Brashear. Anyone else from the audience? Seeing none, I would accept the motion to close the audience.
So moved. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Ordinance 3, 2012, refunding bond ordinance.
Introduction. I'm going to make a motion and have the clerk read by title.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Leyva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jewell?
Why, yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Valentine?
Yes.
A refunding bond ordinance providing for the refunding of certain general obligation bonds of the borough of Washington, County of Warren, State of New Jersey, appropriating $850,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $850,000 in bonds or notes of the borough for financing the cost thereof.
Can I break that down to English, Deborah?
Sure.
We're finally getting a chance to save our 3% by refinancing our debt. That's what this is. We're refinancing our debt to get a lower rate.
Are we extending the life of the bond?
I don't think so. It's,
no.
No, it's just refunding for lower
rates. Right.
That's part of, you know, that's part of the business. So everybody understands that they're actually clapping for us.
They might stop. Okay, a motion to approve this ordinance on first reading.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leyva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jewell?
Absolutely.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Torres, yes.
Public hearing of ordinance 3, 2012 will be May 1st, 2012, an advertisement of the public hearing of the start event on April 12th, 2012.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? I didn't need to roll call. Reports, the borough manager's reports.
A lot of nice detail in this, Ms. Blanchard. Now we have an idea what's going on during the week.
I do have a
saying.
I have a motion to accept.
No,
second.
We're going to talk about it?
Not second.
We're going to accept it.
Well, we'll receive a file and then talk about it.
Okay.
So we've got the motion, we got the second. Now, discussion.
Okay, now we got it.
Yeah.
On 3/23/12. The part where it says that I asked the question why DOT is taking so long, they're already three weeks behind?
Three months behind.
Okay, they didn't tell you what the problem was.
Design error.
Okay, design error.
Uh-oh.
And then it said within 2 weeks or 3 weeks they will start. What is it? I can't remember.
Yeah, within 2 weeks.
Okay, well, it's been 2 weeks. I want to stay on them because that is actually causing a big problem.
It's a big inconvenience right there.
It's going to be a bigger problem when they close the other side opposite
can,
where the diner
is. Just send them
closed.
An email saying, hey, give
the
me
diner.
That thing. That this guy on the council is using for them.
Fine.
Yes. Good. Okay. And then down the bottom, the one with Stephanie Lewis? They're completed, then, I take it.
These are completed, and Sue actually sent out the industrial user fee filling at the end of last week. We will be presenting the new sewer connection fees probably at the next meeting, and with that, I will give you all of Stephanie Lewis's backup.
Okay, is this just based on Stephanie's input, or did Andrew have something to do with this?
He provides information to Stephanie.
Did you get any of that information, Councilman Zorn?
No, I did not, sir.
And we're on the sewer committee.
Okay.
So we were kind of, I was kind of taking a back on this. Is there any way that we can get that information?
What information do you want? The
new rates and how it was calculated.
Okay.
If you would, please. By chance, did you happen to discuss with her the closing of BASF and the the payments for the surplus sewer capacity?
I do not. The cost has been, our CFO is going to take a look at that. It's come to last meeting.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Torres.
Well, I noticed that on the manager's report of the same day, the 3/23/12, that there was the issue of the, that we had asked for the actual police expenditure numbers, which I believe now we have in front of us here. So did that come, Christine, with any explanation to these numbers, or?
No. The only thing I can tell you is that the larger packet, which I highlighted for you, was prepared by
the mayor
of Washington Township. It was his analysis. The other information that's in color is from the CFO.
Is the mayor a CFO registered, I mean, certified as well, or?
Is the mayor?
Yeah.
No, that's my knowledge.
Okay.
My recommendation would be to have Natasha check this out when
Right. I agree with that.
You don't need that in the form of a motion, do you?
Well, after we do this, we should probably do it that way.
Okay.
Any other discussion on the manager's reports? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, Mr. Higgins, would you like to make that motion?
Do we need to? Or will she check it out and have it prepared for...
If we make the motion, then it's formalized.
All right, so I'll have the make a motion to have...
I'll second that motion.
...the CFO move these numbers.
Okay, any discussion on that?
The police contract.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Valentine, committee report. Manager search subcommittee.
That's rolling up. We're on quite well with the interviews, so phone calls. We got some pretty good applications. The advertising month ended the end of March, and I guess we'll be receiving no more. I think we have something like 42 applications so far. And during the first group of phone calls, we had some good prospects there. And we've got some more set up for the next coming 2 weeks. And it's going good. There's some good people there.
Is there a time frame we want to get this in front of us? Like, do you have a goal?
Well, we're hoping to, I think we're like working towards like the end of April.
End of April?
Yeah.
How many phone interviews have been done so far?
Four, yeah.
How many of the 42 applications, 42 resumes have been discarded?
I think it was what, either 8 or 10 that you sent.
What, 8 or 10 that we kept?
Of the 42 you kept.
Yeah, so about 32 we didn't go forward with. Well, we still have some that we haven't reviewed that we just got.
There's only one, right?
I have two.
You have two?
Two.
Yeah.
Two.
Are they from the majority of them, of the 10 so far, in state?
Yeah, the majority of them, yes.
Say 50-50,
is it? Yeah, well, you're talking of the ones we've...
Right,
we're
the ones
we've
narrowed down.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, the majority of them, where there are maybe two that are out of state.
Okay.
Yes, there is, yeah, two.
Give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion if we could possibly break to go an executive session now. I have a personal issue I'd like to talk about regarding this particular topic.
What topic?
Manager search.
Oh,
okay. Well, we have a motion on the floor.
For?
We don't.
Executive.
Okay.
For
executive.
Can we do that at the end?
We move this to the end and then...
That's
fine. Can we move this to the
end? Sure.
I mean,
you got a lot. Well, we have an executive session anyway, so we'll just add that on to it.
That's
yeah,
fine.
I think it'd be a good idea.
Okay.
All right. Resolution 67-2012 for the recycling tonnage grant.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? 69-2012.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that?
That's a lot of okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, let's do a roll call on that one, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Leva?
Yes.
Joel?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Resolution 70-2012 for tax anticipation notes in the amount of $1.165 million.
So moved.
Yeah, second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this?
You know what that is? We're down to $1.1 million again, tax anticipation that to give us cash on hand, and we're going to replace that with the collection of tax. It'd be paid off in a year.
Right, and that is down from the $2 million that we've been borrowing in previous years.
Going down, which is good.
Going down, and hopefully...
Right, going down, going down, going down.
Because our financial condition is looking so much better. Okay, any other discussion?
I'm a whole lot.
Let's do a roll call.
You always please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Thor?
Yes.
Labor?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Megan?
No.
Boyd?
Nope. Okay, Resolution 71-2012 for escrow relief, release for Habitat.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call, please.
Megan?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
Thor?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Labor?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yep. Okay, 73-2012 for Beethoven Avenue. Wow. I'm sorry, for the review of this.
I will move that.
Okay.
Can we write this in?
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Well, of course there is. I think there was a misunderstanding of what it was that I actually wanted at the last meeting in reference to this. I wanted a letter from Andrew.
The letter from Andrew is attached to the other one.
I can't see it.
No, to number 76, Resolution 76.
I thought you were going to do these together, too, so...
It's not with resolution...
Right here. Oh, okay.
It's broken out.
Yeah, $10,000, $2,700 for construction administration, inspection $7,500.
Okay, as long as it's $10,000.
It states not to exceed $10,000.
Unless they come and ask us for more. Okay.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Megan?
No.
Jewel?
Yes.
Labor?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thor?
Yes.
We'll take a moment. Yeah, no?
No.
Where's that?
Home structure.
Front supply.
What?
Is that going to be it for the siren? Sounds like it.
Flame show and truck supply.
76-2012, not to exceed resolution from Suburban Consulting.
Make the motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that?
So $7,500 of that $10,000 will be getting through the grant.
That's correct.
All right, and we've already paid him $10,000, so the total project that we will have spent $20,000 for the engineer.
$12,500 out of borough funds.
All right, $12,500 out of borough funds.
So we got a grant, and we're spending $12,500 of borough money on top of the grant.
Yes.
That's what we talked about before.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Thor?
Yes.
Labor?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yep.
Megan?
No.
Okay, Resolution 74-2012, shade tree appointment of Suzanne Marr.
So moved.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any extensions? 75-2012, to close municipal alliance trust fund.
Sorry.
In the amount of $2.79.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion on that? Let's do a roll call since it has a dollar amount in it.
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yep.
Labor?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
Thor?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Vouchers.
Make a motion, we pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the bills?
Yes.
Mrs. Gleba.
I was curious, and we might need to ask Andrew, on page 14, what work was he still doing in for the DPW garage and salt shed?
That was litigation.
He had to go to court, probably, to testify on subpoena.
Oh, that's...
Deposition.
So So what's it coming out of, like, capital? What is that expense actually?
That is a capital account for the garage and salt shed, and it's for the litigation.
Okay.
That.
So does someone keep track of that so that we recoup that in the...
I did speak about that with finance. And once we recoup some of this money, we can reimburse them.
Okay, great.
We don't have to share it with the Washington Township Police. Okay.
So, and one other thing. Page 18. We have in the sewer budget now salary. It should not be coming out of this current fund. It should not be showing on this report.
I did speak to the girl, the clerk who put this report together. It's a system glitch. It's not coming out of both. It's just always going to show up there.
But it didn't show up before. Why?
That was the explanation.
Yeah, but
I
when
got,
you say...
I know we talked about it a few months ago. I would have to just go back and refresh my memory with
Well, who can we talk to? The clerk must not, whoever does generate these things, must have technical support
right.
from the system.
We're admins, we do.
To get help with the glitch.
Okay.
If that can be worked on. Thank you.
But what I was going to just add, I mean, it's probably not in the computed part anyway. Is that correct? Where it is. And it has to be.
Probably a software change that needs to be made, but Councilwoman Glee was right. We can talk to Evans about that. It's confusing.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, any other questions? Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, to go off of Janine's question on page 14, my question is, do we still have money in that account?
We do.
How much?
And that is bonded money. Right?
It is.
So is there any way we can find out how much money we have left in that bond?
Sure.
Okay, anything else? Roll call, please.
Weaver?
Yes.
Duel?
Yes.
Flores?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes, Ms. Blanchard, I have to abstain for the QC Laboratories because I do business with them in my private life.
Megan?
Yes, with the exception of anything that has to do with the fire department.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. The same with me, Christine, and the squad and fire department recommend that. Thank you.
All right, that brings us to our recap.
I will work with Kevin of Gibson Skin to see where he's at with the disconnect between the two engineers, and if there's no resolution, reach out to our borough engineer to appear at the next meeting. I will reach out to our borough attorney for the process on vacating Nunn Avenue and work with the assessor on reviewing the tax map for Nunn Avenue. I will look at the meeting minutes from 2008-2009 to determine if Councilman Turner was involved after his term expired. I'll get an update on the Route 31 project again. I'll ask Natasha, the CFO, to follow up on the reserve capacity for BASF. I'll forward the information from Stephanie Lewis for the sewer fees to the sewer committee. I will have the CFO review the police numbers, budget numbers that were provided to us, and I'll get the balance in the capital account for the borough garage, and I'll talk to admins about the software.
Okay.
The
Mrs. Sloan, you had a question?
I'm sorry, I forgot to ask it during the public. There was hazmat guys on Broad Street. I've seen them there twice when I went.
Recently?
They're still working the oil spill they had a while ago. There was an oil spill I'd asked about. It was, it happened a few weeks ago. It was
oil
a resident.
Spill?
Yes.
Fuel oil, correct.
Fuel oil, and they're cleaning it up.
Oh, okay.
The Warren County Hazmat's been there working feverishly, I guess.
Yeah, they were digging. I thought
right.
It was a body.
I hope it's not. I hope not.
Stream flows the other way.
Okay.
Council remarks. Mr. Torres.
No remarks at this meeting.
Okay. Mr. Jewell.
To say good job to the Recreation Committee. I know they probably left already, but doing a great job. Good job, Christine. Thank you for all your help so far. And please don't forget about the beefsteak dinner at the firehouse, April 21st. There's a few tickets available. 7 p.m., comedy show and beefsteak dinner. All you can eat and drink. That's it.
Mrs. Fleva.
Okay, I have a couple of things. Because I'm just mentioning with the bid, and Sandy can jump into. There were four new businesses that opened, and actually all three of us went to the ribbon cutting, so we wish the businesses well in town. Make It Happen Recording Studio, which is pretty exciting kind of business, and Get a Grip is kind of like a man's garage store. And also, Aflac Insurance opened up an office in town. The Duck. And also, the last one is Intuitions, does palm readings, tarot card readings, kind of thing. So that's kind of new for the town also. And they're busy working on their spring art festival, and they have their art walks, and we're also working on... in conjunction with the art walk, a story walk for all the kids at the next, well, not the next one, the May one, we're going to have that also. So I'll tell more about that at the next meeting. So that's it, a lot happening with the bid. And thank you to the police for giving us the information. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but at least we do have the numbers before the 17th. And also, I saw it downstairs, which was great. I was happy I got it in the mail because I have a son at the high school, but it looks like, from the way I read it, that at least for the Warren Hills Regional Schools, the Washington Borough has a decrease in taxes coming up, which is very rare, and our taxes are going to be flat, if not less, so it might just be a pretty good tax year in the borough this year, so I just wanted to share that in case people didn't know. I don't know what the local school taxes are like yet. And then last, I saw in the Express Times, and that, you know, the DOT awarded the grants for the street projects. I didn't see anything for the borough listed. So did that mean we did not get that grant for Green Street?
That's how I read it.
That's how you read it.
Yes.
Could you verify that
sure.
We did not get that? And also, only since, you know, we don't have a manager, could you just, not even just the DOT, but could you make sure Andrew's, like, really proactive in helping us find funds so that we can at least, you know, our streets are in desperate need, you know, and you know, any grants he could find, and to make sure that we apply in 2012 to the next go-around for
right.
The DOT grants, you know, since the manager's not here and you're doing a million things, if he could kind of, you know, keep that on the front burner, you know, to help us out. All right, that's too bad we didn't get it. Okay. All right, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Boyle?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Higgins?
Of course, you know. All right, listen, I have a couple of things. Question on this Nelly Scrap people, the haulers. Remember I gave everybody the
yes.
Bait thing, and we talked about it, and Mr. Cushing said, oh, Clinton, you're tired of them. We're going to check on
this
that.
This one?
Yeah, that one.
You got calculators, didn't we?
Yeah, we got calculators.
Yeah,
right. Right. Pardon me? Yeah.
Right.
Are they anybody?
I'm
oh, okay.
Don't have it.
Oh. There you go.
Well, I'll give it to you.
Do you have the information? Okay. Second thing. Glenwood Borough has a resolution that they sent to the governor and the legislature. And what it is, it's asking them to take control of salary ranges for CFO, tax assessor, I have right here, clerk, tax assessor, CFO, tax assessor, tax collector, CFO, and municipal clerk. They're all established salaries through statutory requirements. I would like to pass this on to the, to Christine to have her put it in the next package with a resolution in support of Garwood's resolution. So I make that motion.
What's the motion on this?
It's, right now there are statutory requirements for like the tax assessor, CFO, right?
That's right.
So what this is a resolution sent to Trenton saying, hey, listen, give that
power back to us.
Back to the municipality.
Yeah, I'll definitely second that, yeah.
It sounded like you were saying give the control to the state.
Yeah.
It's revoking it.
This is, they want it back locally.
Municipal level.
Yes.
Yeah, Christine.
I thought it was like you were saying to me that the state was gonna take it over.
No, they have it now and they want it. And I think we should support their resolution.
Good idea.
Okay, so we'll put that as an agenda item for the next meeting.
Yeah, and just as a side note, I'm sure it was just a little slip, but I think we have a quite capable acting manager right now.
Okay.
I said I think we have a quite capable acting manager right now.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No.
Mr. Valentine?
This flyer we got from Jersey Central, could we by any chance put the information here of the programs and assistance available to customers on the website?
We would need to ask them for permission.
That?
Well, that's a private company though, right?
I think they have their own website though, don't they? Don't they have those listed on there?
We should get permission.
I think we had some discussions with Dick about that at one point.
It was at the box tops. Yes,
yeah.
We
didn't
put the
box tops
on there.
Yeah.
We got a link to
Jersey
Central Power and Light on our website.
Yeah.
Of the utility.
Yeah, that I think that's pretty good. As long as Dick approves, says it's okay, we're not
opening
up Pandora's box.
See if it's okay first.
Yeah.
Because I think that maybe some people in the borough actually might be able to take advantage of some of the stuff they have here. So I just want to make residents aware the options and the availability of it.
Okay.
Not necessarily advertising or JCPL.
No, you don't. Okay.
Yeah, maybe you could just say under utilities, here's the link and, to find further information on the programs and assistance available to customers.
Yeah.
Just that heading includes the
link.
Okay. Anything else, sir? Okay, I have nothing myself. So I guess that brings us to Resolution 72-2012. How about after a 10-minute break?
Okay, how
about
5-minute
break?
How about five?
Okay.
2.5-minute break.
Yeah. However long it takes you to smoke a cigarette.
I don't smoke.